You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You may have noticed corporations these days speaking out on political and social issues more frequently. Recently, Disney's CEO suggested it would be very difficult for the company to continue filming in Georgia if the state's restrictive new abortion laws take effect. Elsewhere, a new policy from business software provider Salesforce bans companies from using their product to sell certain types of firearms and firearm accessories. These are just two recent examples of so-called corporate activism, and the lines that once divided business and activism seem to be getting more and more blurry. Braden King joins us now. He's the Max McGraw Chair of Management and the Environment at the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University. Among other things, his research focuses on how social movement activists influence corporate social responsibility. Braden, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Well, it seems like once upon a time, really overt public corporate activism, companies seem to steer clear of it. Do you see a big change happening in recent years?
Yeah, I mean, one thing we've noticed is for the first time, or I guess I should say it's becoming more common for the first time in recent years, that companies are starting to sign letters, make public statements to either support policies or to show their opposition to government policies that have nothing to do with their main form of business. It's common in the past for companies to take positions on policies that matter to their business model, but they've typically kind of stayed away from social issues or environmental issues that are really, you know, peripheral to what they do. So this is the big change we've noticed, is they're taking positions on things that really have nothing to do with their business.
Right. We see companies like Disney and Netflix saying, hey, we might stop filming in Georgia because of their new abortion laws there. That seems like something that could have the benefit of bringing on customers who agree with them, but really pushing away people who don't agree with that stance.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that it has anything to do with the customers themselves. Mm-hmm. I think that Disney and Netflix realize that, you know, their customers may, you know, that disagree with it may think about it for a few minutes, but in the end, if they like the product, they're going to, you know, go see the movie, or you know, they're going to stick with Netflix as a streaming service. But the group that really matters to both Disney and Netflix is their employee group. That is, they care about what the values of their employees, what they think about these policies, and whether they're comfortable, you know, working in an environment that is, you know, oppositional to their values.
Is that a trend you're seeing more, employee-driven corporate activism?
Absolutely. You know, I think part of this has to do with the generational shift. You know, maybe 30 years ago, employees did not feel empowered to talk about their values in the workplace, or they felt like that was just something you didn't do. Whereas today, I think it's much more common. You know, millennials in particular are a group that feel like, you know, it's important that their work life, you know, have some connection with their personal life, with what they think and believe personally. They want those two things to be compatible. And they're much more likely to kind of choose a job based on, you know, on the company's values. And so you especially see in industries where, you know, managers or, you know, people have technical skills that are highly scarce and valued, that they tend to, you know, cater then to their employees' beliefs more so than in industries that, you know, where it's mostly just, you know, a manual labor or that kind of thing.
Do we see different kinds of activism and different stakes for companies with a direct consumer-related brand? That's a Disney movie. I know it's a Disney movie. Or that's a Coke can. I know it's the Coke company. But if it's the Coke brothers companies, they don't have their product on a label. Is it different the more distant they are from the direct consumer?
Yeah, I mean, I think those companies have a little bit more at stake. You would think that it would make them more averse to engaging in this kind of activism, but what we're finding is the opposite. So a student and I did an analysis recently where we looked at, you know, what kinds of companies will put their names on these letters, you know, in favor or against government policies. And we found that they tend to be companies that have a lot of brand equity. But they're also companies that are known for good employee environments. So if you're a company that's received an employment award in the past, you're much more likely to support or to engage in what we call corporate activism.
You mentioned environmental issues earlier, and I know over the years there's been skepticism. People have the phrase greenwashing, the idea that companies put up a facade of activism, especially on environmental issues, but don't really do anything concrete. What do you see?
So it's definitely true that all companies now, I think, are trying to ride the green wave. And, you know, no company wants to sort of be seen as environmentally wasteful. And so they're all trying to do their best to position themselves as environmentally friendly. And for some companies, that just means that they are slapping a label on packaging of a product. They might get some traction out of that. But that's different, I think, than companies that are taking stances on these issues. I mean, compare, for example, a company that, you know, puts a green label that says environmentally friendly to a company that actually, you know, signed this letter saying we want the United States to stay in the Paris Accord. The latter, you know, is a much more costly signal of what a company really stands for or believes in its core values, whereas, you know, just packaging something is, as you say, could be just a form of greenwashing.
Talking to Braden King right now from Northwestern University about the changing face of corporate activism. How has social media changed the corporate activism story, Braden, now that there's a corporate personality on Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, well, in a couple of ways. One is it makes the corporate brand a lot more personable, right? So the company's Twitter accounts tend to have a personality to them that they didn't before. And with personality, you know, both comes the benefit of, you know, being able to share beliefs, which they do sometimes, but also the risk of, you know, saying something online that you later regret. And you see that happening quite a bit as well. So the other thing that has changed is that it gives activists, that is, you know, environmental social activists, a direct mechanism to target these companies. So the number of boycotts have been, you know, that are targeted against companies have been going up just by a huge magnitude in recent years. And the major change is just the availability of social media. Now it's much easier for activists to announce a boycott or start an online campaign against a company because the costs of organizing are so low. All you have to do is have a Twitter account and have access to a network of people who agree with you on a particular social issue, and you can start a boycott overnight. So that's created a risk for companies where suddenly they have to be aware of all of the potential voices out there that might have something to say about their company.
I know it might be hard to measure, but do we know if a corporation taking a stance, especially on a social issue, makes a difference? Does it change anyone's mind or change anyone's policies?
It's hard to know. We're that's something we're starting to look at. I think that it definitely seems to be influencing employees. So you can look at, you know, these surveys that they do at, you know, exit surveys at MBA programs or other similar kinds of surveys, and they find that, you know, that these people say that they are wanting to work for companies and are choosing their first job based on their fit, the cultural fit they have with the company. And, you know, included in cultural fit is whether they believe that company stands for the kinds of values that they have. And so, you know, if these statements are, you know, increasing fit, perceived fit with certain kinds of employees, that's a good thing and will probably have an effect on the quality of employee they can attract. But as far as, consumer behavior, any kind of study I've seen has shown that there's very little impact on consumer behavior. Even consumers who believe that they are making choices based on, you know, a political belief or the political stance of a company, there's just no evidence that it translates into how they actually shop, what they spend their money on. It turns out that, you know, consumers just like to buy high quality products for a good price. And that's the main thing that drives their behavior.
Is there any thought that consumers might be turned off by corporations taking political stances, whether or not they feel strongly about the particular issue?
I think that they will tell you they are. But again, I just don't think it translates into behavior. So we have a study that I've been doing with some colleagues at the University of Toronto and at Harvard University. And what we're finding is that consumers will tell you that they oppose the company and that they actually say that they boycotted a company. So take the Starbucks example. A couple of years ago, Starbucks came out and said they were going to hire 10,000 refugees as employees in response to President Trump's travel ban. So it was clearly a policy that was meant as direct opposition to President Trump's travel ban. And so a lot of Trump supporters were very upset about this. They were very vocal online, talked about how they were going to boycott Starbucks. And it became a big deal for a month or so. What we did is we tracked consumers' spending behavior, looking at their purchases, their receipts and such. And what we found is that people who watch a lot of Fox News and who said they voted for Trump are much more likely to say that they boycotted Starbucks during that period. But if you look at their receipts, those people who say they boycotted Starbucks bought just as much Starbucks as the people who didn't say they boycotted Starbucks. So people like to believe that their consumer choices are shaped by companies' political stances, but in reality, they're not.
When it comes to corporate activism, as we wrap up, is there an emerging story or trend you're keeping your eye on to see where it goes?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what's going to happen in this election cycle. I think that this matters a lot for a number of different kinds of companies. One thing we know is that under President Trump's administration, it's become a little bit more difficult for companies, especially in the tech industry, to recruit people to work for their companies in the United States. And so I think that's one issue that's going to be on their agenda, is making sure that immigration reform is out there and being talked about. And then I think that climate change is going to be a huge issue, and you're going to see companies come down on this on opposite sides. Some companies are going to be quite vocal about being involved in the global solution to climate change, and then other companies are going to maybe more behind the scenes be advocating for less action on that.
Braden, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Braden King is a professor at the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University. He joined us to talk about corporate activism in America today and how companies are using it.